Aloha mai kako, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Moana Nui podcast as we continue our celebration of Mahina Olelo or Olelo Hawaii month. Tonight, we are going to discuss the Hawaiian word ohana. And a lot of people might be familiar with this one. Ohana means family. And one of my favorite Disney movies is, I would say, credited with bringing this word to a broader stage with Lilo and Stitch. Everybody probably knows that the phrase ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind. So tonight we are going to talk about this word and see what our guests think about that interpretation, but digging deeper into what it means to us as Kanaka today, in the past, in the future, how the word may have evolved over time, and to help people just get a better sense of the way we view things and center our worldview and our perspective through tonight's episode. So mahalo nui for joining us tonight, whether you're on the live or in the replay. We're really honored and welcome you all to tonight's show. As you all probably know, my name is Moana McAdams, and I will be your host tonight. And I'm joined by three wonderful guests who I'm excited to have join us tonight. Our first guest is someone who is new to our show. She has been enjoying our content as a viewer and a listener, and I'm really excited to have her join us tonight for this particular discussion. Her name is Elizabeth Kamali'i McGann, and she is a dedicated clinical social worker who specializes in wellness and mental health support. She's a native Hawaiian, born and raised on Oahu. She now lives in the diaspora with her husband and her two sons and two daughters living in Michigan since the late 1990s. She is a graduate of Kamehameha School's Kapa'a Lama, and she, along with Chantel Taylor-Schmidt and Erica Escondido, actively engaged and launched their nonprofit, Polynesian Indigenous Knowledge Organization of Michigan, or PICO, in 2022. And with that organization, they seek to engage, encourage, and equip our Lahui to perpetuate Hawaiian culture. So wanna welcome Elizabeth to the show. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for having me, Moana.
Of course. We're excited. Okay. And our next guest is AJ Paki Perkins. He is a native Hawaiian born and raised, also from Kaneohe, Oahu. He, along with his three children, are award-winning children's book authors. Excited to see their books. I've seen them in different, seeing that. And so he is here to join us tonight to talk about ohana. He also has a new book that's coming out soon. So hopefully we'll get to hear a little bit about that project as well as we dig into tonight's episode. So welcome, AJ Paki, to the show.
Aloha.
Aloha. And then last but not least, my superstar favorite artist, Brooke Kapuniahi Parker. He is an artist, obviously, of Native Hawaiian descent, raised in Kahalu'u, Oahu. His family runs deep in the islands, and many of you have seen their faces on the wonderful pieces that he creates as he continues his family traditions and shares his talents with the world, not just with our Lahui in Hawaii, but everywhere. His work is so inspiring. I can say inspiring, uplifting, honoring, all of those things, helping to bring our ancestors back into the present with us. So excited to have him on tonight's show as well as we bring his ohana into the present and help us explore this topic tonight. So welcome, Brooke. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Okay, so let's see. We'll kind of start from the beginning. And I talked a little bit about Lilo and Stitch. And this is one that I wanted to incorporate into the conversation because as I'm working on it as a cultural consultant now, there's a new comic book series. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is incorporate some of our Hawaiian thematics and concepts into the series, but in a way that raises curiosity, just like the word ohana did, in helping people to understand not just the literal definition, a deeper sense of what it means to us as Kanaka. So with that said, what does ohana mean to each of you? And I'm going to start with...
So this is a little challenging for me when I speak in public about it. I've talked at BYU the first time when I talked about ohana, because me and my children, we talk about mahalo hana, mahalo, aloha, ohana, the three greatest Hawaiian words and greatest Hawaiian values. And when we talk about ohana, I was taught by my ohana to break apart the word and use that as a way to get deeper into the kauna of the word. And when I did that with ohana, we see words like o, oha, ha, hana. And the thing that I got hung up on was this idea of hana, meaning work, because we talked about you as your ohana, you guys work together for life to continue to bring together this beautiful thing, right? So it was, that's how it was for me, right? Just the traditional, this is our ohana, this is our family. But then later in life, I learned from my ancestors that hana does not mean work. Ha, breath, life. N was for noa, which means unbridled. A is for akahai, grace, to leave things better than when you found them. So if we look at this, when you talk to a Hawaiian, when they see me taking care of my children, what are you doing? Hana. Oh, when they see me tilling the land, oh, what are you doing? Hana. When they see me out there fishing, what are you doing? Hana. So from their perspective, they see me actually doing physical work. They think hana means work. But if you ask a Hawaiian, that's not work, because in the traditional sense, work is what you do until you can get somebody else to do it for you. That's hana. That's work for them. But for us, hana, I don't need somebody else to take over my job as a father, my job as a caretaker of the aina, of the vai, of the kai. So when we look at that sense, the o in front of hana means eternal. Not all o's mean eternal, but in that particular sense, on Oahu, that also means eternal, right? So when we look at the fact that hana means this unbridled, unleashing of grace forever, that to me is what ohana means. My family is family, but it's something that I will continue to do. So it's a little controversial because it's not the normal thing, but 250 years ago, we knew what ohana was. We knew what hana was. We didn't need Westerners or outsiders to look at us and tell us what ohana was or what hana was. When they said, oh, you caring for your baby, you hana, yeah, whatever. I don't need to know. I know what I'm doing. Somebody doesn't need to tell me. But 250 years later, our children think hana means work. And it's just different. So I'm sorry for taking it down a different rabbit hole. But at the end of the day, if we're trying to teach our keiki the proper understanding of who we are and why we do what we do, that's why ohana is so important to us. It's not just family. Family means to get together and not say, don't forget them. No, no, no. That's beautiful. But that's not who we were, our people were. Kalamai.
No, and no need to apologize. Mahalo for sharing that, Manao, because I definitely just learned something right there. I didn't know that either. So please don't apologize for things that don't align to like what is now common understanding. That's the whole point of having this conversation, to kind of dig deeper. So mahalo. I want to go to Brooke because I see him. I know he wants to speak and add on to.
I'm taking notes on what he said.
Right? Awesome. Me too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, just want to preface it with these two statements. You've probably heard it before. No other success can compensate for failure in the home. And also, the most important hana you will ever do will be within the walls of your own home. So you want to talk about family, it starts in the home, okay? And having said that, with us as Hawaiians, especially the ancient Hawaiians, family history, our genealogy, religion, and history are like triplets. They're so interconnected that one couldn't exist without the other two. It was the social glue that held a society together for thousands of years. To modern Hawaiians like us, these ancestral ties still remain as valuable links and are innately treasured by us. We are what our ancestors were. The eyes, the hair, the height, as well as many other physical features are recognizable in many families. The laugh, the temper, the talents, the high blood pressure, the heart disease, etc., as well as other emotional and mental characteristics are also readily recognizable in certain families. It appears that these traits are genetically perpetuated from generation to generation. Because so many of these physical, mental, emotional, and even spiritual characteristics are transported down through the corridors of time, when identified correctly, it affixes to each Hawaiian and to each Hawaiian family a unique genetic print. A navigator at sea who has lost his point of origin cannot possibly know where he is presently. Therefore, in conclusion, he has also lost his destination. Persons who do not know their ancestors and their past, likewise, cannot truly understand themselves in the present, and their future is unsure. Genealogical research is one of the most satisfying individual accomplishments a person can experience. To gaze upon a great grandmother's face in an old photograph, or read a letter written by an ancestor, gives tangible dimension to any name found in your family records. Ancestors become real. Hearts are open, and eternal connections are made. They are no longer just a name among names on a piece of paper. Your own self-worth is increased as pride in their long ago accomplishments become part of your own right of inheritance by helping and inspiring you to accomplish your personal goals and dreams. Knowing who you are gives you a sense of place in time and in the cosmos. You are an extension of the many that came before you and a model to those that follow. You are important. You are somebody because you have family. This is the essence of being Hawaiian. Hawaiians have always known of this point of reference between themselves and their ancestors and their descendants. It is my sincere belief that every living Hawaiian today, if diligent in his own research, will be able to find that we are all related. This ohana connection is what makes us what we are. And I hope that we can all kokua each other successfully and seeking our own family connections. Thank you for having me share that.
Wow, that was so beautiful. And I just love the way you laid that out. It's interesting because I was just having a conversation with my mom the last time I was at home, and I've been digging deep into our mo'oku hauhau. And not a lot of people take the interest of doing that, but I feel you said it yourself. It's very important for the generations to understand that, because it does definitely boost yourself, where it makes these people real. It shows where you come from. It's harder to not embrace your kuleana when you know where you came from, and you know, you understand that you have kuleana too. We often look at our ancestors, but we also have to ask ourselves, right? Like, when I'm not here and somebody else is here, what do I want them to say about what kind of ancestor I was, right? Mahalo for that, mana'o. I'm chewing. You guys are giving me so much tonight. Elizabeth, I saw you nodding over there. What are your thoughts on this big question?
Oh, my. Big question. Ohana, I'm going to say, for me personally and for my ohana, it does mean working together and being connected. And it's just regardless of where we are physically in our space too. And I will agree with both Brooke and AJ and your descriptions of ohana, and that the essence of a Kanaka family is radiated. We just by just coming into the room, the way we speak, our mannerisms, our natural love for other people without other expectations. And I'm going to also say it is the Ohana. Our basic goal as parents too is to ensure that our keikis and our future generation will continue our legacy and really ensure that the Ohana, our responsibility, our love will just not be forgotten. And I'm just going to say, because I'm married to my husband's Irish, so my kids are half Irish. So we've lived in the diaspora. They were born and raised in a small little white town. And we're very blessed that we do have the little Traverse Bay of Odawa Indians. So that's, we're cousins. And so I made my own Ohana here with our own family and also with the other local families that I did end up finding here in Michigan. And to me, Ohana means love. Ohana means being together, regardless. My parents, they've been on Oahu. I've been here since the late 90s. Mama comes once a year for 30 days. That's the most I get of my mama. I'm very blessed that she's still alive. Daddy is still alive, 75, but he will never leave Hawaii ever, ever. He's never, no. And we have to go to him. Ohana to me means aloha, lots of aloha, lots of ensuring that our keikis will pass that on to their keikis. And I'm so blessed that I have two mo'opunas that I can start instilling all this ike and mana'o to. So that's what I got.
Mahalo for that. I like that you kind of touched upon one of the other things that I wanted to talk about in terms of an extended ohana. Ohana has layers. And so from a Kanaka perspective, there's also the concept of hanai and what that word means. And
Moana, so before you go down there, could I tag on that since you brought in hanai, right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about this concept of ohana, if you take what I said earlier, there's two ways that you can add to an ohana, hanau and hanai. And both of these words have the root hana that we talked about. Ha, na, noa, unbridled, a, akahai, grace, leaving people places better than when you found them or when they found you, right? So if we look at hana as a different take, when we think about how I can increase my ohana, it's one of two ways, hanau or hanai. So me and my spouse, when we have children, that is hanau. It is birth. It is from the uhane, right? We take the hana, the uhane, that is coming from our spirit coming out. That is because we are blood. But then the other way that we can add on to our ohana is hana'i. E, short for Io, from Heavenly Father. It is through that relationship that Heavenly Father has put in front of me. So you've got coming from my blood and coming from Heavenly Father, that relationship. These are the two ways that you can expand your ohana. That's it, plain and simple. It's either through my blood or through the relationship that Heavenly Father has allowed me to be a part of.
That's so, I love breaking down the words. It makes so much sense right now. It's so simple.
And it's funny because as a Hawaiian, that's kind of some of our ancestors teach us, right? You gotta, in order to get to the kauna, you know what I mean? You gotta break down the word and go a little bit deeper. But some of the things that I found was I did break down the word, right? If I took ohana and I did exactly what I normally do, break it down, I get this kauna. The problem was hana did not mean what we think it means in this modern day. So if I try to break down that word, it's just wrong. So now when we start to think about ohana in this in the way that our ancestors knew it. And then we connect it to the things that we do know now, which is to you. I mean, you said it, Hanai. Why are we talking about Hanai for? Like the Native Hawaiians in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where they seal people together, Hanai allows you to be able to be sealed to your Hanai family. When we look at all of these different things, I mean, we're talking now, we're bringing religion into this in a way that truly is, because as a Hawaiian, I was conflicted. I'll be the first one to say, I was born and raised Catholic. So how is it that I believe in God, but then I'm Hawaiian and I believe in Pele? Until you realize that we believed in the same God. As Native Hawaiians, we had that same God. And I'm saying this just because when we talk about Ohana, because this goes all the way back to our Aumakua. Same scenario, right? How is it that our Aumakua, if I talk about Aumakua in front of the modern day people, they look at me like I'm crazy. That's just crazy. But then when you think about it, those are our ministering angels. Those are our ancestors that have gone before us. So how is it that I'm crazy because I'm talking about Aumakua? Those are those that have gone before us that now continue to come and minister to us and be a part of who our lives represent. I'm sorry to kind of take it too deep and off kilter, but as I'm divorced, I was divorced, you know what I mean? We had this beautiful ohana with children, and then I got divorced, and then I got remarried, and I have stepchildren, and my ohana keeps growing. My first wife was Hawaiian. My second wife, Haole, born and raised, went to church college in Hawaii, and then now she may be white, but she more Hawaiian than me. So does that change who we are because of my blood? No. It's because of our heart. It's because of who we are. It's because who we connect to. Hanau and Hanai is so important for us because there's some of us that our Hanai Ohana is as strong as our Hanau Ohana. You cannot touch them. Those people belong to my Ohana. I just want to share that.
Mahalo nui. Does anybody else want to build upon what Paki said? Because that was very awesome.
Call me.
I guess I'll speak to that.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up, Paki. And that's what it is. It is Hanai. That's what I ended up doing here. And I am blessed in the sense that both of my siblings did come and follow me. Actually, I have three siblings here. Yeah. And so that was a huge blessing because my nieces and nephew, I got to watch them being raised up here in the same town. So that was beautiful too. But we created our other families with the people here. And we're still very connected. That's my Hanai family. And like you said, I'm going to tell you, one of the things that stuck to me from my pastor is he would tell me, how did dancing hula honor Jesus Christ? That's what he would tell me. And I would say, what are you talking about, pastor? He would ask me questions like that and make me think. And of course, then I would come to the conclusion, I am still honoring Jesus Christ in a different way. I realized that his perspective was a different perspective. It was just that he didn't understand the Hawaiian culture at all. But I'm very blessed to have him as my pastor for 20 years too. And he's still alive. That's all I got.
We talk about, yes, we come from different backgrounds, different ancestors. There's diversity there. But in no way I mean to create separation. Yeah, we all have our different personalities, likes, dislikes, but at the same time, when we come together as one in unity, that's how we move together, not only as a family, but as a nation. Yeah, you guys know, I don't even need to say this part, but I will. One of the biggest challenges, I don't want to call it a problem because problem is negative. But one of the biggest challenges we have as a Hawaiian people is agreeing to disagree. Sometimes they cannot move forward because too much huki, and where there's contention, there's aloha will walk out the door. And so when we're not understanding to each other, or sometimes even being forgiving, then we're not going to get very far. When I talk to the children, I go and I speak different, and even adults, I ask them, any of you have sibling rivalry? Oh, a lot of hands go up. Our mom was up at St. Louis School for Boys. 80% of the room raised their hand. And I said, that's just natural growing up. But I said, eventually, you need to make amends and cut that off because of the fact that you're going to have generational division, and that's not good. I just finished a series of 48 chiefs. It's called my rivalry series. So I did paintings of Kalaunui Ohua and his six closest companions against Kukona and his sons. But eventually, as it continues down through the centuries, when we don't. But we can learn lessons from the past, both positive, we can continue to emulate, and also learn from the negative. Some of that we leave behind. We learn from it, we leave behind. We try not to repeat it. Why do we need to repeat it? You know. And I'm not in any way trying to be judgmental of my ancestors. They live by a different set of rules. They'll be judged accordingly to whatever light and knowledge that they had, so with us. But when that knowledge comes, it becomes a stewardship now for you to continue to, I believe, I think I mentioned this before, that I'll have a stewardship report with my ancestors. And when I see them and meet them face to face, because I know I will, they're not here physically anymore. They never lived spiritually. Yeah. They're going to ask me, what did you do in my name? How did you perpetuate those things that I tried to do? And I don't want to be hiding behind a rock. I want to be able to give a good stewardship report, doing the best I can with whatever talents that I was blessed with. And even in my discourse, when I use the word proud, I use it very sparingly, because sometimes people have a tendency to think that they had something to do with that. Now, I mean, it's okay to work hard, to really sacrifice and reach a goal. That's wonderful. But I like to interchange the word proud with thankful and grateful. It'll fit every single time. I'm thankful and grateful to be of Hawaiian ancestry. But also, I'm thankful to be Chinese, Scottish, Portuguese. It's all important. It's all important. That way, you're always giving thanks to where credit's due. And that's from Akua for those things. Yeah. And a wonderful thing about that too, when adversity hits, and everybody has had adversity in their own lives, that's how we get stronger. We might not like it. We might not sign up for it. Sometimes it is self-inflicted. We don't get to choose the adversity, but we always get to choose how we react to it. Easier said than done, I know. But with knowledge of ancestors that did hard things too, you can do hard things. They did it. Why not you? And I know for a fact that they come and help. I know that. So thank you for letting me share that.
Mahalo. I love that you touched upon stewardship and always connecting back to the ancestors and how we continue to carry their legacy and their name, like you said, forward, and really being, I think the gratitude piece is very important. I think it has a lot to do with ha-ha-ha and not being, like being proud, but not proud to the point where, oh, I'm high maka-maka in that way. But just acknowledging, but still ever pushing forward. And we talked about navigating difficult things. And that's, we all, like you said, we all deal with that. But that's usually when I feel like we need to remember our ancestors, call on them to help uplift us when we're feeling a little like we no can. But you can. Just remember like all the hard stuff that they did too. And I think one other thing you said was we don't want to judge our ancestors. And that's one thing that like I have caught myself doing, but it's one of those things where it's like hindsight is 20/20. It's so easy for you to judge anybody, but you don't know what they were dealing with at the time, right? Like people are probably judging us right now of what we're saying right now, but you just have to take into consideration that everybody's just trying to do their best with the environment that's around them, adapting. And like you said, like we learn from their mistakes. We learn from what they did well, and we try to pull the best out of those situations and move it forward. So I really love that. Someone in the comments said, "Mahalo nui loa, Brooke. Your insight on stewardship resonates with her too." Awesome.
It's funny. I choose to paint what I paint. I feel them close by when I do paint. Mm-hmm. I was on the mainland last year, walking in a mall. All my kids live in Utah right now. They're going to school. They're finishing up. So somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, you that famous Hawaiian painter, huh?" And with all that beat, I just kept on walking. I said, "No, bro, it's not me. You have me mistaken." He goes, "Bro, I just saw your video." I said, "You know what, bro? The people I paint are famous. It's not me." I said, that's never on the agenda. I just want to be able to take care of my family. Yeah. And I also mentioned before, I also had people, usually Hawaiians, ask me, "How do you feel making money off the ancestors?" And so you have that argument. Maybe you want to go talk to the guys that go to Japan all the time and teach hula and whatever it is. But I don't even go there down that road. I just tell this individual, because it's happened more than once. I said, if I had a great grandson taking care of my great grandchildren by painting my pictures and helping my name and memory stay alive, I'd be happy. Why not me? I said, I love them. And I know they love me too. How do you take care of your family? Turn it around, right back to that guy. I said, I never went to art school. I started painting late in my life, 2009. But I found a passion in helping them live in our memories and duplicating those things. You talked about the Disney movie, Moana. One of my other favorites is Coco, the little Mexican boy. What happens to that old man that nobody remembered him? Remember? He just kind of faded away. When I saw that, I said, man, who wrote this? Who wrote this script? It's not for kids. This is a universal thing. And that's what happens sometimes when we're so preoccupied in what we got to do every day. But pause and remember, because if it wasn't for that union back there, we wouldn't be around today. So we have some sort of obligation and stewardship to continue that. Anyway, thank you for letting me share that.
Mahalo. Elizabeth, were you wanting to add onto that? Okay. Yeah, I think it's funny that you mentioned the old man and what happens with the stories when we don't tell them. That's why I like to always call like people to tell their stories, because if we don't talk about our ancestors, if we don't talk about our kupuna, who's even going to know that they existed, right? And it's part of our kuleana to honor them, to keep their stories alive, to inspire those around us and to remind us. Paki, you want to add?
No.
Okay. Sorry, I thought I saw you wanting to jump in. But yeah, no, so that's beautiful too. Let's see. Part of what we want to do with the podcast, we're sponsored by Papa Ololokahi. So I kind of wanted to incorporate like the mental health aspect of this. And some people would be like, how does this relate to mental health? And Elizabeth, I want to go to you first, because that's kind of like your area of expertise. If somebody was to ask you, how does Ohana relate to mental health, how would you approach that question?
Oh, it relates in every single way, because with Ohana and our mental health, just like with Brooke, our mental health incorporates everything physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. And with connecting to Ohana and our mental health, we need our Ohana to help us sustain our mental health too. I'm going to tell you, for support, connection, helping each other out. Classic example, I have a sister that I am caring for right now who has mental illness that lives with me. and with my husband and I, and that's my kuleana at this time. And so mental health is very well connected, and ohana is all intertwined. I'm going to say for support and connection is ohana, mental health. We need each other, and for love and also accountability.
Thank you for that, Elizabeth. I have a grandson. He just turned 6. When he was about 2, he was diagnosed level 3 autism, nonverbal. He had meltdowns, we don't know, different tendencies. And so fortunate for us, Utah is one of the best places for him to grow up because they have a lot of schools that are dedicated to helping autism. But what we learned that it may be genetic. And so I look at back at my life growing up, some of my uncles, scary guys, just. So I got tested 2023 because there were some things growing up in my life, old school. I don't think my parents knew. I'm not really blaming anybody on this. They didn't know how, just like. And that's probably one of the worst things you can do. Your self-worth, everything is just. And so I was tested in 2023 and I found out I'm on the spectrum. I figured that my intellect off the charts, but how to deal with people? I'm only going to tell you one time. That's it. And it only caused pain and heartache. Even if I could do it all again, raising my children, what I know now, but it's never too late. But to have that and how to help, I go see my, I'll do a shout out. His name is Dr. Jason Kaniakala. I see him now once a month to help. We just sit down, talk story. He gives me tools to help manage my autism. And I wish I had that growing up, but I didn't, but it's never too late. And even, you know, other members of my family, it's been a real blessing to be able to take care of that because you see it more and more now. You know, it's a real thing. You cannot just slick them. You cannot. Makes it worse. But I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
If I could tag on that, it's been beautiful to hear Elizabeth talk about one side about the support of ohana and then to have Brooke talk about your connection, your DNA, and how that is important within the ohana aspect. And I would like to add that another opportunity is sometimes being able to know where you come from can help, right? To know that connection is there, to know that you are a descendant of royalty, that you are a descendant of power. And I say that, I think many of us, especially if you grew up in Hawaii, I mean, to Brooke's point, I mean, you just give them lickings. It's that simple, right? You know what I mean? Your kid's not eating, it's probably because they're not giving enough lickings, you know what I mean? But in this day and age, like Brooke said, you cannot do that, number one. But it was interesting because I have 2 daughters that are dealing with this. And then now my son just found out. So all 3 of my kids are dealing with anxiety and depression. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Now, they don't live with me. They live with their mom. And it's not nobody's fault. There's no blame here. But now, to Brooke's point, we have to treat our children different, number one. But for them to be able to know where they came from, to know that this is where you are descended from, these are your people, it gives them the ability to stand up a little taller, to be able to know, you know what? I can do hard things. And we talked about this earlier, right? Whereas before it's, you know what, this is, my dad is bad, my mom is bad, everybody bad, you know what I mean? So I must be bad, right? When you give them that ability to connect to those that went before them, it helps them to be able to say, who am I going to be for those that come after me? I think when we look at all of these different ways, whether it be ohana as support, ohana is the DNA that helps shape who we are in our posterity, as well as knowing the connection that you have in the past and what you can be for the future. I think it just continues to give our children more tools.
Absolutely. I like that you talked about anxiety and depression, because I think that's a huge one that we see. And I think we're still coming to understand that a bit more and really what that means. I think we've had people dealing with this whole time. It's just now that we have terms for them, right?
I think COVID exacerbated it, right? I mean, yeah. when you add COVID to it all, it literally was like pouring water on the table, because it just spread. And now, oh, okay, wow. I mean, so I definitely feel that was the gas that lit this fire for it to not only be larger, but more prevalent, for people to actually talk about and hear and listen and actually raise their hand and say, I'm not doing okay. So.
Yeah, exactly. And old school, just suck it up.
Yeah.
Suck it up, man.
Suck it up, buttercup. Put on your big boy pants and just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
cannot do that anymore. Yeah, cannot do that anymore.
Yes, I remember, and I think
go ahead.
I think things that you can tell a lot has changed over the years in regards to mental health and how society and our culture has really grown to kind of, it's okay, kind of normalize it in a sense, especially because of COVID. There's a lot of support with the social media that really promoted stuff. With telehealth being available, a lot of the times, and we all know this with anxiety, especially, it comes down to people not being comfortable in their own skin. And why are we not comfortable in our own skin? That's the question, right? And what it all comes down to, and Paki already hit on it, it's that low self-esteem. And how do we get our self-esteem back? Going back to our roots. And that's all part of it. And I like that with Brooke, you, for being so candid and being open, that you recognize that you're on the spectrum, and now it's something that you can work with. And I think that's beautiful.
You know what the neat thing for me, when I hear my family and my kids, my son just got married, sealed up in Utah this December. And I heard recently from my wife, my kids, they're all grown now. Hey, dad's changed, huh? Seems like I had a pocket full of passes. Give everybody a pass when things didn't go right. That stuff is really helping him. And I'm never going to be cured, but got to keep on going. I remember my twins. I have twins, the last two. I named them Kamanava after their granduncles. One's a boy, one's a girl. They were both on their church mission during COVID. They couldn't go out anywhere. Anxiety, depression, staying in an apartment with three other wahinis and a wall start to come in, anxiety levels, depression. And it got so bad. We didn't know when the COVID was going to be far. It would be best they come home. My son stuck it out a little longer, but my daughter, we just brought her home, and she was, I didn't fulfill my obligation. I said, no, you did. You had no control. Please don't feel guilty. Mm-hmm. You did the best. Your service is accepted. Yeah. Because of the fact that they were dealing with things that was very real. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful. I tell my daughter, I don't think she's listening, but I'm just thankful. Because she's named after Kamehameha Moku. And be careful what you name your kids to. Sometimes I wish my middle name was Aloha. Yeah. The characteristic traits stick. Yeah. Kamehameha Moku and Kamanava. Kamehameha never sent Kamehameha Moku on a diplomatic mission. He always sent Kamanava. That wasn't Kamehameha Moku's talent. His talent was hit first, ask questions later. You always need guys like that. Yeah. So I just told my daughter, because she's Kamehameha Moku, I'm just happy she never threw anybody out the window. Yeah,
for sure.
And I'm thankful they lived on the first floor. But anyway.
It's so true. You need both. You need the diplomat and you need the skull crusher.
It's that balance. Got to get that balance in.
Sometimes words just don't work.
That's right. You need the ku and the hina. That's right.
Yeah. The ku and the hina.
100%. And if you're lucky, you get them in one person, but that's, you don't always get that.
And I'm going to address one more thing in regards to mental health is substance use. That is a big issue that is related. It is mental health issue, is substance use disorder. And especially our Kanakas, I grew up with parents who were crystal methamphetamine addicts. My siblings, I've experimented trauma, intergenerational trauma. So honestly, growing up, I'm going to just be frank, growing up by learning by fear, I made that conscious choice to change that and teach my kids by love. And it's all about changing our stories, right? I cannot blame my parents at all. They did what they knew at best. And so I'm going to say with substance use disorder, that something in our Native communities really needs to be addressed. And it's all that I'm going to say is due to the intergenerational trauma. I personally, lots of my family members just wanted to address that issue. So.
Yeah, I think that's an issue that's prevalent in not just the Native Hawaiian community, but I've heard it being talked about in Pacific Islander communities as well. And it's something that I feel like we need to talk about more, kind of normalize those conversations too, and try to, I think everybody probably has somebody in their family who has struggled with substance abuse for a variety of reasons. I talk about my father a lot, and I usually talk about him in a positive light because he was such a powerful force in my life. But he was one who struggled with substance abuse. And for him, it was compounded by his service in the Vietnam War, all of those horrors that he brought home, and some things that I never realized until after he had hala and he passed on. And it was friends who... old uncles who's like, oh yeah, they start telling you the stories. And I'm like, wow, how come I never knew all of these things? But yeah, those things can be tough things to talk about, right? Because it requires vulnerability and trust in the people that you're sharing that with, that they're not gonna judge you, right? Hopefully, Elizabeth, we can maybe have an episode that you can join again, and we can kind of talk through some of those things and start to open up those conversations and create the pu'uhonua safe spaces for us to talk about it openly and some ways we can help each other and our ohana, whether it's our own ohana or extended ohana, help to navigate some of those, maybe figure out things that have worked and things that maybe didn't work so much, but just really just opening up that space. So mahalo for that. Okay, so it looks like we've got about 8 minutes left. Let's see. I think we have time for one more question.
We talk about trauma, different things. We become empathetic to others that may be struggling through those same things. But if I can do it, you can do it too. This is what worked for me. Let me try to help you. Instead of, there's a difference, I believe, between being sympathetic and empathetic. Empathetic, I know you're going through a difficult thing. I went through something simpler, but I'm not trying to compare, but this is how I handled it. Maybe you can try this way too, or just give them that love and give them the time they need. Just be their friend. That's all, just wanted to add that.
Yeah, wonderful. But I think kind of going off of what you just said, what lessons or values can people outside of Hawaiian culture, so from a universal perspective, what are some lessons that people can learn from ohana and how we view it? What can people maybe take away from the things that we embrace and honor so much in our culture? Paki.
Well, you heard me say it. Really quickly, you heard me say this before. I think that's why people fall in love with Hawaii. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're buying land, people with deep pockets. Yeah. Bahamas get nice beaches too. There's beautiful places all over the world. But what makes Hawaii special? I believe because we love and revere our ancestors, and they feel that when they come. It reminds me of Derekai. They're not here physically. They never live spiritually. That's the aloha that they feel. It's different. Supposed to be. Right now, I mean, you read the news headlines at home where I'm at now, not very good. People are not living aloha. Yeah. But anyway, I feel that's one of the special things that makes Hawaii special, is because of that.
I taught my children the three most important words in Hawaii: mahalo, aloha, ohana, because they rooted us into who we are. This idea of ohana, it's this unifying effort, right? If we start to look at the things that we talked about earlier, as far as hanai and hanau, and we're all connected, and we're all brothers and sisters. Truly we are. I was taught by my mom, boy, you don't need like everybody, but you got to love everybody. That right there is the big thing for all of us. I don't need like everybody. I don't need come over to visit you every single day, but God forbid you ever in trouble, you call me, I always will be there. That's Hawaiian style. That's aloha. That is giving without expecting anything in return. That is knowing that that when being able to express our ha and exchange our ha, that's mahalo, right? Mahalo is acknowledging and saying thank you for allowing me to be in the presence of your divine breath. That's the kauna of mahalo, similar to aloha. That means when I pass you my ha and I get your ha, that means I will not harm the air that you breathe, and you will not, because it will harm the air that I breathe. I will always do the things that I can to make sure that the people and places are better than when I found them or they found me. So when we look at us as a Hawaii people, right, they say, oh, you guys are in the middle of the ocean, so, you know, you guys are separate. No, that's not true. The ocean does not separate us. It's the vibe that actually connects all of us. So shame on anybody for thinking that we're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's the water. It's the vibe that gives us land. That is us. Ha, the breath, the life. Vai, the water that flows in us, within us, and everything around us. And that I, that is the spirit that comes above us. That is Hawaii. That is who we are. That is who we should embrace everybody else to be. The water does not separate us. It connects us. We are ohana, every single person on this planet, past, present, and future.
Wow, you just made me break down Hawaii. Wow. In a whole other way. Mahalo. Elizabeth, what are your thoughts on this before we...
Thoughts is, wow. Wow. I actually echo the same sentiments as both Brooke and AJ. It does come down to we all connected. We all are one big ohana. We are here to continue to perpetuate our aloha for today and for our future generations. So that's all I got.
Wow, you guys. Mahalo nui. This is such a enriching. It's so much more than I expected to cover tonight in the short time that we have. I feel like these conversations could go so many different directions, and it's so hard to stop. Okay, you have an hour, pal. But mahalo, mahalo, mahalo. I'm going to sit and chew on this for a while, because I was trying to control my own emotions when you guys were sharing, because definitely gave us chicken skin for sure. I'm sitting here and I'm feeling fed. So mahalo for sharing your divine breath, all of you, with us, with our viewers, and helping us to really convey. Like, being Hawaiian, it's just who we are. Like, we do these things. So trying to explain it to other people is hard. And I always find that when people ask me hard questions about Hawaii, I'm like, I don't know. It's hard for me to explain to you. You just have to be there. You have to be in the presence. You have to share the breath, right? Like, it's not something that you can just explain to people. You have to come. You have to spend time with our community. You have to develop that pilina and that connection and the respect to see what it is that really makes us special. Mahalo for helping me to try to answer those questions. And also for our kanaka who never had these in-depth views or teachings. Maybe we were disconnected from our kupuna, and for a variety of reasons, not all of us has that same access. And so this gives them things to consider as they try to find their own identity as kanaka, wherever they are, right? Whether we be at home in islands or on the continent, helping us find our connection back to our piko and to the people, the ancestors, and our land that makes us so special. So mahalo nui for that. Alrighty, so thank you everybody for tuning in and being a part of our conversation tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed so much, because I'm speechless. This is why I'm fumbling over my words, because I'm just so grateful. Mahalo nui ya o kou. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we are going to close out Mahino Olelo with our last panel next Thursday on Pono and Palina and what that means to our community and how it connects back into all of the other concepts that we've already talked about this month, which is Kuleana, Malama'aina, Aloha, Ohana, and then closing out with Palina. So again, thank you guys. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy your weekend. And we will talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Aloha.
So many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if they won't tell it, we will.
If this the land of the free, it was a freedom then, when they annexed Hawaii and called it Cedar Lands. Without any type of payment and no signing off, called themselves the Republic in 1894. 1.2 million acres overtaken from the native Hawaiians. When they resisted, the West retaliated in violence and erasure. The Hawaiian language is banned, as part of colonialism's plan to expand, yeah.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place, multiple bombings of Koholave, as a part of their ongoing war with Asia, used it as a place for target practice. No consent or compensation, colonizers call for annexation. No regard for all the locals, school will never let you know. So many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will.
So if we put Hawaii into perspective, well, Black and Asian history is interconnected. Considering the fight with the Pacific, then of course versus Asia, they was treated as a middleman for war, but didn't let the Western colorism run its course, cause dark skin was a sign of dignity to core. The land was taken in the name of capitalism, when prior to it was an actual kingdom. Clap back at the system.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place, multiple bombings of Koholave, as a part of their ongoing war with Asia, used it as a place for target practice. No consent or compensation, colonizers call for annexation. No regard for all the locals, school will never let you know. So many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will. So many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't, even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history, we will.